for example, Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, starting on verse 1 through 3, there is a step-by-step promises of God that you're supposed to be blessed. And many of us, unfortunately, will not pay attention to this. Listen to this. Now, it shall come to pass, if you got to have an input on this whole thing. Unfortunately, people think, oh, no, it's God's obligation to bless me. God has no obligation whatsoever. Amen. Whatever he does because of grace. And all of you know that grace is undeserved favor. And he also does it because of his mercy. And mercy happens when I don't get the right punishment that I deserve to get. So, it shall come to pass, if you diligently, the same way that you turn on your TV every day, that is diligence. If you turn on that TV every day, that's diligence. In the same way, we've got to do with the Word of God.
Yes.
The same way we've got to do listening to the voice of God. I had somebody coming to me recently said, well, you keep talking about hearing the voice of God. I never heard the voice of God. So, okay, fair enough. Then he started reading the voice of God. Huh? How can I read the voice of God? I said, it spells B-I-B-L-E. You open up, you start reading in a loud voice, and you will hear the voice of God.
Amen.
What? Yeah. It's inspired by the Holy Ghost. And it's good for every single aspect of the life, our lives. He says, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, get this, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth.
Yeah.
It's God's desire for you to be on the top. Tell your neighbor, it's God's desire for God for you to be on the top. Huh?
Amen.
Say it like you mean it. It is God's desire for you to be on the top. Tell your neighbor.
Amen.
And he'll make sure that that happens. Listen to verse 2. And some of these blessings. All these blessings. Doesn't it feel good to serve God?
Amen.
And all these blessings shall come upon you and persecuted by blessings. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Amen.
You're supposed to be persecuted by blessings. What do you mean? Blessings supposed to overtake you.
Yes.
Just like you're running away from the blessing, and the blessing is running behind you until the blessing jump upon you and tackle you down.
Amen.
May I have this scripture here in the New Living Translation, brother? You will experience all these blessings. Notice, it doesn't say you might.
No.
You got that?
Yeah.
You will. Done deal. Now the backslider translation gets even sweeter. Watch this. All these blessings will come down on you and spread out beyond you because you have responded. Your God.
Amen.
God's blessings is supposed to persecute you. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Well, preacher, if this is why I'm not getting my blessings, maybe you got and you let it go. Many of us, unfortunately, have a hard time remaining blessed.
Yes.
Remaining blessed.
Yes.
Some people assume that, well, once God blessed me, I'm blessed. Yes, you are. Make sure that you keep it. Huh? Make sure that you keep it.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. We saw it last week, and I'm going to go over this thing real quick. You know that all this blessing is supposed to come upon you. Keep it. Listen to this. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. So what you're saying, preacher, God is saying that all those blessings that's supposed to overtake you, it will overtake you. Hold on into your blessings. Not into your money. Hold on into your blessings. You know, when God blesses you and you remain faithful, there's nobody can take your blessings away from you. Now, listen to the same scripture on the New Living Translation. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have. Hold on to what you have. Some of you here now got new intestine parts this morning. Hold on to it.
Yes.
How do you do that? You're going to stop talking what the doctor says you had. Huh? You will stop saying what the doctor said. You will start talking what God says about you. What did he say? That you're precious. Remember?
Yes.
That you're loved.
Yes.
That you're healed. Amen. Hold on to your blessings.
Hold on.
When I went to do the heart test, they asked, what diseases do you suffer from? I said, none. You're crazy. I'm not going to hold on to what the doctor says. I'm going to hold on to what Jesus said.
That's right.
I have no business to be holding on to what any doctor says.
Amen.
You with me, right?
I'm with you. Yes.
Hold on to your blessings.
Yes.
Don't let the devil steal it away from you. That Amen. Punk, he's a punk.
Yes, sir.
You'll make sure that he makes your life miserable. Guess what? Stand up and fight. That's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. The Bible says, submit yourself to God. Step number one. Then resist the devil. In other words, put up a fight.
Yes.
I am not going down.
No.
And if I would go down, I wouldn't go down without a fight.
Yes.
You think a doctor is going to come and say, you have cancer? You're crazy. If that would be here, it's going to die.
Yes.
Cannot grow.
Amen.
It cannot grow in this body. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
So hold fast to what you have. Then you may be wondering, preacher, how do I know that I have these blessings? 1 Peter 2:24 tells you what you have. Read it with me. Who himself that we
Yes.
What is it that you have? Healing. How do you know? It says in here.
Amen.
Now some of us are holding to some old sins. I've talked to several people over the phone. People from other denominations, from other out of town. That they call and they say, I don't think that God will ever forgive me for. Yabbity, 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 yabbity. Says who? Have you confessed? Yes. Well, the Bible said that when you do confess, he is faithful and righteous to forgive those sins. And guess what? The best of it, he will cleanse you from that sin. And how come I can't stop thinking? That's your head problem. That's not God's problem, because your sins, he bore on his own body. The price that needed to be paid, he took it on his body.
Yes.
So now you're dead to sins. Have you sinned since? No. And how long ago was that? 20 years ago. Are you kidding me? You mean to tell me you have been miserable for 20 years? Well, this thing is on my mind every day. You've been deceived. You've been fooled. All your sins, whatever happened in the past, God remembers no more. If anybody remembers, you, not God. Jesus bore it on his body. What God's expecting is you now to live in righteousness. Because every stripe that Jesus took in his body was good enough to heal one disease. Did you know, listen to this, did you know that science has classified all the diseases on the planet into 39 categories? Did you know that? I just came across that and I flipped. I read it again, then I went digging. Every single disease known to mankind will fall under one of the 39 categories that there is. So in other words, there are 39 categories of diseases on planet Earth. How many stripes did he bore?
39.
You're covered. Amen. You've got full coverage. So, what? How does thing connect? Didn't the Bible say for you to hold on what you have?
Yes.
What do you have? By his stripes, you. You will be healed, right?
You were.
It's past. You were healed. So healing is yours.
Yes.
So then how come I got sick? Because you live in a decaying world. Because you like to go to McDonald's. Because you like to go to Tyrone Fried Chicken. Because you like to go to Burger King and you like to eat Domino Pizza. Then you get sick. Did you know that 90% of the diseases that mankind has today comes through food?
Yes.
Did you know that the quickest and easiest way that Balaam found to get God's people astray while they were on their way out from Egypt was through food? Did you know that? Well, then start reading the book of Hebrews. The Bible says that Balaam, the punk prophet, the guy is so dumb that a donkey is talking to him, and he's responding. Listen, you idiot, donks don't talk. Can't you see that something is wrong in here? But he was attracted by the money. He couldn't curse God's people. When he opened his mouth to curse God's people, for his surprise, how lovely are you tents, O Jacob? You dwell in places, O Israel. Then Balak said, whoa, stop. I didn't call you here to bless these people. I called you here, I'm paying you to curse them. I said, I can do nothing. My lips were taken by the Holy Ghost. And you got to remember, these people are God's people. Okay, take a deep breath and try it again. Yivarechach Adonai ve'yishmerech. Whoa. What is the matter with you? So he couldn't curse the people of God. Then he played dirt. Well, just tell your people to cook some good food. Offer to your gods. Then give it to them to eat. And bam, they fell. Many of the diseases that people have today, I again read it. I'm always reading the New England Journal of Medicine and some other stuff like WebMD and other medical sites and psychology sites, I have to keep up. 90% of the diseases that we have today comes from bad eating habits.
Amen.
So we are already healed. But we will go into different seasons in our lives, and sometimes we get sick. Just have to remind ourselves that by Jesus' stripes, every stripe was a kind of disease. Every single one of them. It is covered by the sacrifice of Jesus.
Amen.
And I want it.
Yes. Amen.
Well, preach, if that's the case, I'm going to starve. No, get a little butt in the kitchen and start cooking. That's all.
That's it.
And I'll tell you this. You're going to be better off financially speaking. If you were to do the number, if you eat only 2 burgers a day, say that you get the cheapest one, $2.99 plus $1.79 for the soda, which is going to give you diabetes, you are on $4.78. Then you add the dams, 35 cents, that's $5. That's the little tiny wincy meal that you have. $5. If you have 2 of them a day, it's $10 a day. That's $300 a month. That's $3,600 a year on junk. And for every can of soda that you drink, you're inhaling 21 spoons of sugar. Oh, I drink diet. You're still inhaling sugar. They don't use sugar on the diet. They use stevia or whatever the pink one is. That's all. That's why it tastes like brake fluid. So what you're saying, preacher? Hold on to what you have. What do you have? You have healing.
Yes.
By Jesus' stripes, you and I are healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we're going to hold on to this thing. We will not let it go. Don't sit like a dog and be beaten left and right by that piece of garbage called devil. Fight. Fight back. Fight back.
Amen.
Are we still together?
Yes.
We've got to fight back. There are many, many modernistic preachers today telling us that this healing that he's talking about here is a spiritual healing. That's baloney. A sinner does not get healed spiritually. The human spirit of the lost man or woman is not healed. Are we together here?
Yes.
This is not speaking about a spiritual healing, because the spirit of mankind is not healed. It is reborn.
Amen.
Huh? This is not a spiritual healing, because the spirit can't be healed. It can be born again. Remember when the fellow came to Jesus. The rich man came to Jesus. And he asked what he must do. The Lord told him, you must be born again. And then he said that, how is that possible? I cannot go into my mom's womb. She's dead. Then Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. Is that correct?
Yes.
The spirit of mankind can't be healed. The spirit of mankind will be reborn. And on the moment that you and I come to Jesus Christ, the rebirth process takes place. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that at rebirth, something happens. A change takes place. Watch this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. What happened to the old things? So what happened next? So,
amen.
You can't be healed spiritually. Spiritually, you will be reborn. And when you come to Christ, the newborn takes place, the rebirth takes place. God takes away all the old junk that was on man's spirit. The guilty, the shame, and all the garbage in between, the fear. Did you know that you don't feel fear in your body? You feel fear in your soul? You know that? Fear is not a body diagnosis. It's a soul diagnosis. When you're fearful, then it might affect and manifest. Some people, when they're fearful, they start shaking and trembling. But every time that people shake and tremble, doesn't mean they are fearful. Because fear does not affect the body. Fear is not a diagnosis for the body. It's more a psychic thing. So what you're saying? When you were born in Christ, reborn, a new person, the old stuff, including fear, is swiped away.
Amen.
And the Bible says, all things have become new.
Thank you, Jesus.
So First Peter 2:24 is speaking, therefore, about the healing of your body. Because the healing of your spirit and soul took place when you came to Jesus Christ. Is anybody following me so far?
Yes.
Therefore, 1 Peter 2:24 does not refer to spiritual healing. And you know what? There isn't not one time a mention on the Bible about the spiritual healing. So, the healing is for the body. And when you get your body healed, you are just healed of a disease. You still get the same body you had before, but now healed. Your spirit were healed when you came to Christ. You are in Christ. You're a new creation. The old stuff has gone. All become new. And the healing achieved at Calvary Cross was the healing of your body. Say amen.
Amen.
In other words, divine healing is not being healed spiritually. It's a spiritual manifestation because you've been healed by the power of God. You get that?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
When God heals, He does heal you physically through your human spirit. And the reason that He does this, the reason that He does is because He heals you through faith. And faith is of the heart or of the spirit. In Romans 10:10, we read the following words. Can you read it with me? With the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So God contacts you through your spirit, not through your mind, not through your body. Did you get that?
Yes.
I'll say it again. God contacts you and I through our spirit, not through our mind. Not through our body, because God is a spirit. He's not a mind, He's not a man. The Bible says, that angels desired to do the work of witnessing, but they can't because they don't have a physical body. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
So God needed to use Jesus that had a human body to heal you and I.
Amen.
Folks, at the end of the day, if you and I are open to what God is doing, there is no need for us to be in despair. There's no need for us to be in misery, in agony. A lot of people say, well, preacher, I know if God is willing, God can heal me. God is willing.
Yes, He is.
Jesus is God. And Jesus' main ministry was to do the will of God.
Amen.
Jesus is God's will in action. Did you know that?
Yes. Yes.
When you go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, a man came running to Jesus, telling him about his demon-possessed son. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
Mark 9:23 says the following. Read it with me. Jesus said to him, if you can believe,
all things are possible.
Amen.
I showed you this scripture because I want you to see this. As soon the man came to Christ, he started complaining, well, my son is demon possessed. I brought my son to this disciple of yours, and they couldn't heal him. Can you help? What kind of question is this? You're talking to Jesus, dude. Jesus attacked his faith right away. Jesus started working immediately on the man's believing. And this has to do with his spirit. Jesus turned this man's plea for help. He turned it around. It's not a matter of what I can do. It's a matter of what you can believe. And this is why Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. And I know, folks, that some of us are not yet there on that position that we will take something that God said on the Word. God said it. That's how it's going to go. Some of us are not there. I understand that. So for those of us that are not fully there yet, there is Psalms 107, verse 20. How does that work? You're going to start speaking the word consistently. Yes. It says, He sent His word and what else? So you already got the healing that is included in the 39 stripes.
Yes.
You already have a deliverance from every junk on the book. Well, but my faith is not like yours. No, it's not. Yours is bigger than mine. You know, it takes a lot of faith not to believe that God will do what He says He will do. I mean, I don't have that much faith. I mean, at the end of the day, you believe in something. And if you don't believe, or if you believe that God is not really doing what He says He would, that's a big faith. I don't have that faith yet, and I hope I never will. But if you're not there yet to that point, to hold fast to what you have, to hold fast to your miracle, instead of seeing it slipping away, start speaking the word. Because the book says, He sent His word and healed them. There is a healing power invested on the word of God.
Yes.
So I was sneezing for the last 2 days, every time I sneezed, I said, by Jesus' stripes, Paul Santos is completely, totally, fully healed. Back off.
Amen.
Every time I sneeze, by Jesus' stripes, Paul Santos is fully, totally, completely healed. Back off.
Amen.
Nonsense.
When
we start speaking the word, if you're not there yet to the point that you can claim the word, all right? Start speaking the word of God. You sneeze, by Jesus Christ's stripes, I am healed. Mention your name and start talking, start talking, start talking, start talking, start talking, keep talking, keep talking. The devil's going to get mad at you by hearing you repeating the same thing over and over. You have to back off. You have to back off. You remember that when he was tempting Jesus on the desert, right? All 3 times he came against Jesus, Jesus knocked him up with a good verse. And the Bible says that he got frustrated and he left. The devil gets frustrated. So if your faith is not there yet to speak the word, to believe the word and take possession of your blessings, because he promised that when you go through the water, you're not going to succumb. Is that right? When you go through the fire, they're not going to burn you. Is that right?
That's right.
Because you're precious. Mm-hmm. But if your faith is not there yet, then you start to speak in the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. You will frustrate the devil.
Amen.
This is what it says in here. He sent his word and healed. You say, preacher, you have this thing to speak the word. Why should I be speaking the word? And I'm going to wrap up. We'll continue next time with this. Why should you be speaking the word of God? Pay attention. He said, he sent his word, right? And the word healed them, number one. And number two, the word also delivered them from all their troubles. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
May I have the Never Inspired Version here, please? He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave.
Amen.
Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Now, when you go to the New Living Translation, it's even sweeter. Watch this. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Why is the word so powerful? John 1, verse 1 and verse 2. Why do I have to speak the word? If your faith is not there yet to the point that you can stick to the promises of God, stick your foot on the ground, stamp your foot on the ground, devil, back off, you idiot. You start speaking the word, speaking the word, muzzling the word, mumbling the word, dreaming the word. Because John 1:1 tells you about the word.
Yes.
In the beginning was
the word.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Yes. And the word. And the word. He was in the beginning with God. Why did the word save the people from their destruction? Why did the word heal them? Because the word is God himself.
Hallelujah.
Oh my Lord.
Amen.
Did you get the point?
Yes.
The word is God himself.
Oh, hallelujah.
He sent his word.
Yes.
And healed them.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the Word of God. That was from the get-go. And this is why the devil hates the Word. This is why he gets frustrated. Because the Word was with God. The Word is God. And the Word is with God from the get-go. Folks, some of us are not there yet, Don't worry. No fuss, no fight, nothing to be afraid of. But I want to end up by taking you back to Revelation. I want to take you back to Revelation 3:3. Read it with me. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. You're hearing it today. You are hearing it today. Are you with me here?
Yes.
You're hearing it today. You're receiving the word of God today. Hold fast and repent. Why do I have to repent? You got it. I have to repent because I might have changed my way of thinking about God.
Yes.
Hold fast to the word. If there's some hesitation, Lord, I'm sorry. Your word says, you quote the word, and you move on. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Meanwhile, I want you to hold fast to the word of God. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Say, I'm healed.
Despite
of what my body's feeling,
I'm still healed.
And I am healed by the stripes of Jesus.
I am blessed.
Far above and beyond.
What
I can think or ask. Would you recite with me Revelation 2:25? Can we do that?
Yes. Amen.
Revelation 2:25. And what a better way to finish the sermon.
Yes.
Read it with me. Hold fast what you have till I come.
Amen.
How long are you supposed to hold your blessings until Jesus Christ comes back?
Yes.
How long are you supposed to hold your healing until Jesus Christ comes back? How long are you supposed to hold the financial prosperity God is sending your way? Until Jesus Christ comes back. How long should you hold fast to your promises? Until Jesus Christ comes back. You are blessed. Far above and beyond what you can think or ask. Hold fast to your healing. Hold fast to your blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you.